For KZYX News, I'm Sarah Reith. The resolution to create a 15-member climate change advisory committee did not pass muster at yesterday's Board of Supervisors meeting. The committee is supposed to focus on reducing greenhouse gas, carbon sequestration and storage, and preparing for climate change-related disasters. With the help of multiple focus groups and volunteer efforts to distill the views of all 10 tribes and communities in every region of the county, the committee, not yet formed, will then advise the supervisors on policies to mitigate climate change. On April 16th, the board agreed on the basic structure of this committee, but did not come to a decision as to whether or not the Resource Conservation District would support the committee in a grant writing and administrative capacity. Deputy County Council Christian Curtis wrote the resolution based on board discussion, and yesterday it appeared on the consent calendar. But Supervisor Ted Williams pulled it.
I'd like to understand how the goal of diversity was lost between the original proposal and the resolution.
Curtis told him there is a number of complications.
One is that when it comes to any sort of racial or ethnic classification, we run into certain limitations as to what we're able to do as a government entity in general and as a California government entity in particular.
Alicia Bales of the Mendocino Environmental Center said the protocol with the tribes is crucial. Two other residents cautioned the board against creating an expensive and unwieldy bureaucracy. The item will appear on the consent calendar at an upcoming meeting. There was a notable lack of optimism during the cannabis update. 221 county cultivation permits have been issued, while another 25 have been approved and are waiting for their owners to come pick them up. Planning and Building Services Director Brent Schultz told the board he'd just sent out letters to applicants whose permits had been approved. This hasn't always been the case, according to Scott Ward.
The county has to notify the applicant when their permit's ready. I have a client that picked up his. I called up just to check, and they go, oh, we don't know why he hasn't come in. Well, you never called him or emailed him or mailed him. So it's important if you're going to establish a deadline for someone to pick up their county cultivation permit that you have a notification process that they've been duly notified.
State water boards and state agencies, especially the Departments of Food and Agriculture and Fish and Wildlife, are major hurdles. But high turnover at the county, turmoil in the Ag Department, and confusion about which department handles cannabis have frustrated even some of the stalwarts of the regulation effort.
Ron Edwards Willits, Fish and Wildlife is basically gutting people out. I have almost at the end of my rope in dealing with the situation. In regards to building and planning, saying you're not hearing anybody come in, well, if you've been following this, you go, okay, I go to the Ag Department. Oh, nope, now I go to the Executive Office. Nope, now I go back to Ag. Nope, now I go to Building and Planning.
And Paul Hansberry, who sells cannabis medicinals rather than flowers, complained of high fees and a tax bill for a crop he never planted. The county minimum tax is due this month, which is the planting season for outdoor growers. But cultivators complain the tax is hitting them hard, especially when, like Hansberry, they've just received a cease and desist order from CDFA.
Here's a letter dated May 1st, cease and desist, all commercial cannabis operations, because my temporary expired. On another subject, taxes. Here's a notice in red paper saying that I owe, by the end of the month, I owe $1,250 that I didn't cultivate because I got my permit in November. That's just wrong. I didn't cultivate for this permit. I had to meet deadlines, which I did, and now I'm being charged for something I didn't do.
Supervisor Ted Williams wanted to know if the county could take Fish and Wildlife to court for destroying the local economy, but was unable to garner much enthusiasm from his colleagues or county council. Still, he insisted, there must be something someone could do.
I don't think we can wait anymore for anything. I think we need to take action. We just need to decide what that action is. But, you know, to expect that, you know, let's sit back until August and think we're going to see, you know, these 1,339 applications processed in any meaningful way, I don't see it. I think we'll come back and we'll hear that there's 9 more that have made it through the system and the rest are blocked somewhere at the state. We're not sure where, maybe Fish and Wildlife. And I can't support that. I feel like we have to take some action, even if it means the 5 of us get in a car separately for the Brown Act.
Brown Act line.
And go down to the Capitol and protest. I mean, I'm serious. This is, it's not just about cannabis. These dollars, talk to the local bars. They say people don't have cash anymore. Talk to the repair shops. People aren't showing up to fix their cars. It's trickling down everywhere.
While he got some applause from the small number of growers who came back after lunch, County Council Catherine Elliott was considerably more subdued in her response.
I'm certainly willing to work with planning and building on this issue and see if there's anything that we think we could do to move this forward. I certainly would take that direction from this board and come back with some suggestions. I'm just not sure that will move this faster.
Cannabis was also a talking point during another agenda item, the last budget workshop before the budget hearings on June 4th and 5th. CEO Carmelangelo gave the board something to think about.
So basically what we're saying is that we have spent money the last couple years on cannabis as far as staff and services, and we're looking at approximately $800,000 of general fund. And so are we looking at fully funding our cannabis programs across the county for $800,000, or is that an area the board would ask us to try to bring down our costs?
The most reliable sources of income for the county are secured property tax, sales and use tax, and the room occupancy tax. But the $3 million that's due in minimum cannabis cultivation tax, according to the Treasurer Tax Collector's Office, is not even included in the budget report, as Supervisor John Haschak discovered when he questioned Auditor Lloyd Weir.
I have a question about the cannabis business tax and the increase to it from $1,050,000 budgeted to the $1,500,000 projected. And so does that include the minimum cultivation tax and all of that?
Right now, I can safely say I think the 1.5 is good. I'm not opposed to that probably going up a little bit, but we'll wait and see.
So my understanding was that there is a potential for $3 million from that tax, and you're projecting at this point half of that three.
I'm not familiar with the $3 million projection.
In her recap of the budget discussion, Angelo observed that the board wishes to break even on the cannabis program rather than continue subsidizing it with the general fund. Other big-ticket items included $5 million from the general fund for salary negotiations and the COF report, $2.5 million for disaster recovery, and $780,000 for vehicle replacement. $500,000 has been set aside for construction of the new jail wing, though that number is likely to continue going up due to increasing construction costs. Juvenile Hall is on the books for $2.1 million, but an earlier request from probation for $460,000 got knocked down to $200,000. Budget hearings will be on June 4th and 5th. For KZYX News, I'm Sarah Wright.